All right. So, Hedwig,
Here.
Hillshire,
Here.
and that's alternate. Spring Valley,
Here.
alternate. Piney Point,
Alternate present.
Bunker Hill,
Commissioner, alternate present.
and Hunter's Creek Commission. Katie.
Present.
All right. We have a quorum. We can go ahead and start.
Well, great. Well, we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order then. The first item on the agenda is comments from the public, limited to 3 minutes each. Are there any public comments today? Hearing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Two items there. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda? So moved. We have a motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Okay, and all in favor?
Aye.
All right, motion carries unanimously. Now let's keep on going down to reports. Item 4A, treasurer.
So Zeb is not here, so he just wants to know.
So do you have a treasurer's report? Well, can you tell us whether we still have any money?
No, we went to Hawaii last week, so no, we're zeroed out. Overall, there is going to be a little bit of a change, obviously, because our budget has changed from the last go around. But you can see that we are still this is June. We can just kind of go with July, but it looks as though our salaries are slightly over budget there, but that is between 7 months, starting at that 7 months. So this is July 31. But we are still good going under budget on that. If you take it across the entire year, this again is just under the 7 months. We still, in the capital items, we're still waiting on our radios to come in. We have had that in order, and we have a few other items that we will need to spend in that area, so that will go down as the year goes on. Overtime, we're still looking good for the year. I think we are in line with the budget. Again, this is distributed over a 6 month period rather than the entire year, just because of the way the budget has changed. So overall, we're looking pretty good. Is there any questions on that as far as the budget? I mean, the financials?
Just a second here. You cover that too on the budgets are all.
Oh, the, yes. I'm sorry. The update on all the budgets.
On all of that, yes.
Yes. So everyone has approved and moved forward on our 22 proposed amendments, 23 proposed amendments, and then our 2024. Budget. So all cities have approved, and we have that all done and by the end of June, which was great. So we were excited about that. Except Hedwig was July, but we were good, running pretty good.
I think we took June off.
July.
We took something off.
Yes. Yeah. So we didn't have the last July meeting.
I took June off. Everybody else took June off. All right, so any questions with respect to the financials? Hearing none, let's move on into the fire chief's report.
Mr. Commissioner, we've got Mr. Zach Brewer here with Texas Class. You want to let him go ahead and go in front of me?
You know, that would be a good idea. Let's go ahead. That is, where do we have that on the agenda?
That is B, and I consideration.
5B.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
What?
Sorry about that.
Not a problem.
This is Mr. Zach Brewer with Texas Class, and can discuss our financials with us, our financial plan.
Hopefully making some more money. So again, my name is Zach. I'm with Texas Class. What Texas Class is, we are a local government investment pool here in the state of Texas. We have about $23 billion worth of Texas public fund money in our pool. We are not small by any stretch of the imagination, but we deal with small entities and large entities, so and everything in between. We are a liquidity pool, so it is daily access to your money, so you're not tying up any of these funds. It's not like buying a CD or something like that. It would be complementary to what you have in a depository institution like a bank account. Instead of being at the bank, probably not earning a lot of interest, we're paying close to 5.5% overnight. So that is a nice time to be invested into a pool such as Texas Class. We deal with a lot of other ESDs and fire departments, as well as cities, counties, school districts, and special districts as well. So say Pine Point is a participant along with Harris County and several ESDs within Harris County, Corbin, Montgomery County, and the like. So certainly something that we've got a lot of participants close to you. So I actually live just around the corner behind IKEA, and my business partner, Tony Kelly, is just down Campbell at work. So we're certainly very familiar with y'all and would love to be partners for you. So I've included some information and some handouts that I've given to you. But first, I'm just kind of giving you an update of the rates that we pay. We do move with the Fed. So as the Fed has moved up interest rates, our pool rates have gone up. So it is a daily moving average. So when the Fed does start to cut rates, those rates will come down. So right now we're at a great time to enter, and it looks like we'll probably be at these high rates, possibly raising another 25 basis points this year. And the Fed doesn't signal right now that they're going to be cutting rates drastically next year. So again, a great time to be in. I did also include some more information about Texas Class. What makes Texas Class, one of the differences between the other pools in the state, we are the only pool in the state that not only compounds interest daily, but we also pay interest daily. So your bank and all the other pools that might be might look at, they pay interest at the end of the month. So right now, these higher interest rates, getting paid daily, your interest is earning interest at a greater rate. The law of compounding just works in your favor. And that's one of the things that separates Texas Class. We also have a late wire cutoff time of 4 o'clock central. Those other wire cutoff times in the state are earlier in the day. So if a bill needs to be paid and you need to move money quickly, you can do that up to 4 o'clock central. So that's one of the great benefits. We have a very easy portal for your administrators to use. So that also is a benefit. Statements come out the first business day of the next month. So from a user-friendly side of things, we kind of make it super simple and easy for them to use. Again, I mentioned that we are $23 billion in size, peaked at $24 billion earlier this year, and we'll continue to grow as tax dollars come back in. But as people spend money down through their yearly cycle, right now we've been able to maintain at that $23 billion level, which is pretty great. So those are the highlights, really. We are governed by the Public Fund Investment Act 2256, which you are also governed by. It allows for you to join a pool such as Texas Class. We have to maintain certain criteria based on the Public Funds Investment Act, keeping a weighted average maturity of 60 days or less, along with several other requirements, but you certainly are allowed to invest in a pool such as ours. So I know this is super high level, but Bankfin as a mutual fund, if you will, or money market fund that is geared specifically for public entities. So no private money is in it. It's just entities that have tax and authority, but it can be in it. So those are kind of the high level points I think is important for you to know about. Does anybody have any questions or?
What is the difference between the two bonds?
Sure. So the two pools, we got one that is a government only pool, and then one that it has government securities along with commercial paper in it. So the two different commercial paper has a little higher rate of return versus those that are just U.S. treasuries and agencies. The majority of public fund money that we have invested with us is in the larger pool of the commercial paper pool, and that's about $22.5 billion, where the government-only fund, which is paying about 30 basis points less than that, has commercial paper in it, has about $1.5 billion. So ours are in the one with the commercial paper. Here, the state law allows you to buy commercial paper individually. Most public entities, because of the size of the finance department and the ability to monitor those credits, makes it prohibitive. So you can get access to that type of credit through a commercial paper pool like ours without having to monitor the credits yourself. And that's why people join that. So that's the big difference between the two pools.
So tell me a little bit more about the Texas Class pool and the commercial paper and the kind of instruments you're investing in.
Sure. So the majority of the commercial paper pool, which is also considered a prime-style pool, here called that as well. The majority of it is going to be commercial paper. And that's because commercial paper is paid about 30 basis points higher than U.S. government agency and treasury securities. So you're getting a pickup in yield. It is the safest commercial paper that by law that you can invest in. So it's got to be A1, Q1 rated by S&P or Fitch. And it would either be asset-backed securities or bank type product, but it is, you know, the safest possible commercial paper you can be in. And we have to keep a 60-day weighted average maturity in the entire pool, so that keeps the maturities of the actual individual investments very short-term indeed. So all very, very liquid and very short-term. So we're not locking up your funds either, because we have to provide that liquidity component. We are a AAA rated fund. We are monitored constantly by S&P. They're looking at the securities as well. We also have kind of like a Chinese firewall between our credit team and our portfolio managers. We have a full team of credit analysts that do nothing but monitor the individual credits within our pool. And then they dictate how far out our portfolio managers can go on any individual security. But I can certainly show you a list of some names of those credits if you'd like to see that.
Is that published on your website, or is that something on a regular basis is updated?
It is updated. I can certainly send it. It is published. Once you're a member, you can log into the portal and see the holdings. So it's something we do not disseminate to the actual public. I can give it to you just from a competitive standpoint. We wouldn't want to just have it where people can just look exactly at the individual holdings. But it is something that is very accessible to our participants. And it's something I can provide you. Yeah, but definitely, you know, when you log in, you can see that, as well as the other participants that are in the pool. That information is readily available.
So we could have access, but they could have access to see, like,
sure,
movement. Okay.
Sure. So the way that we have authorized users, and then we have, you can have users that have access but are read-only into the account as well, and you can have as many authorized users and read-only as you would like.
Okay.
We also do something different than some of the other pools, which I think is very strategic in the fact that right now a lot of public funds are being inundated with cyber threats, and so we make it where an authorized user by simply submitting a form can add and remove users without having to go back to council or committees, you know, wait in a month to how to remove somebody. You can just do that immediately. So one of the things that differentiates us. Yes, sir.
Are you governed by the same rules as money market under the SEC, or is it different?
So we are governed by money market rules by the SEC. We also are governed by the Public Fund Investment Act of the state of Texas, 2256. So we are a registered investment advisor.
With respect to the mechanics of the authorized users, can a single authorized user initiate a transaction, or does it require two authorized users?
We have the ability to do dual authorization if you would like. So the majority of participants do a single authorized user, just because trying to, if they're in an environment where they can't get two people to quickly sign off and move money, that sometimes becomes prohibitive, but we certainly have that, the capability of doing dual authorization.
If it was dual authorization, would they have to be at the same computer at the same time, or could they each from their own location?
They would have to log in individually.
Okay.
So, yes.
And then, is there any restriction on where the money goes, or is it like an ACH where they can just send money anywhere?
So you can have it. They can set it up to pay vendors through there, should you like. We are trying to go away from that from a security standpoint, it would be better to use it's better to use your bank feature, but right now that's not available, and so right now we're sending people back to their bank payment. They can set up ACH and wires from the portal, so that if you want a dual authorization, you personally need to sign in individually to approve that.
Could we restrict the ability to do ACH and wires and just say that the only place that money can be sent is to a particular bank account?
So yes, you can. And the way that is done is that the bank information, you set up the bank information in the account, and to do any changes to that bank or to add a bank, there's a bank amendment form. And then we do a verbal verification via the phone back to that bank to verify that information with the bank. So that would be what you would need to do every time you set up an account. That would be the process. So I don't know if that necessarily is the limitation that you're looking for, but there is.
What I'm looking for is something that would prevent a single authorized user's account to become compromised, a threat actor taking that person's credentials and taking our money and sending it to Russia.
Correct. So exactly, and that's why. That's a great, great point, great question, and that's why when there's any change to any bank information, our protocol is to call the bank themselves to verify that account information is actually correct, and that any changes have been made. They are aware of those changes, and that is the correct changes. So, and the dual verification or authorization for transfer of funds certainly helps in that regard.
Because, in groups that I've been familiar with, we have seen situations where someone has their email account compromised. You send them an email and say, hey, I'm ready to wire you the money, and you get an email back from them with wire instructions that it's not coming from them, it's coming from Russia, and you wire the money, and they say, hey, we never got paid, and so it's a real deal.
Yeah, and that's exactly why right now we're also not emailing bank amendment forms or change in the user authorization. Someone who is authorized already has to go into the portal, download the forms, versus us emailing them out. So if an email had been compromised, they're actually having to log in. We also have dual factor authentication within our portal. So you log in, you're going to have to put in a verified code to get access to you. That's a big portion. And that's actually another reason why we have got away from doing vendor payments directly out of the Texas class. We are implementing that new system where vendor payments can be done again from Texas class, but we're not there just yet. But yeah, again, and public funds really are on the front lines of cyber security threats. So take that very seriously.
there a minimum balance for investment?
Great question. No minimum balance, no fee for wires or ACHs from us. Does not cost a dime to join. You can, if someone else is paying a higher rate, let's say the banks end up paying higher, you can move all your money back over to the bank. So keep your account active with us. Should we move up higher, you can move it right back. But no minimum balance. And you have unlimited sub accounts and unlimited transactions. Again, no fees for months.
Do you have any Memorial Villages found out?
We've got
Spring Valley,
Piney Point, Bunker Hill, I missed it.
Hunter's Creek.
I believe Hunter's Creek is in there. I can tell you exactly what. But yes, we have
reviewed our funds account yesterday.
Yes, we have several. And again, several ESDs and a ton of MUDs as well, special districts.
Is there a dedicated account room?
So we have there's four of us here in the state of Texas. Two of us happen to be within a mile. This is from you, so definitely boots on the ground. Like I said, there's four of us in Texas, and then we have a dedicated client services team in Denver, Colorado, that's available 7:30 to 4:30 standard time. So there's a live person, somebody on the phone for a transaction help. They have more access to the back end. They're in Denver at client services, but then Tony and I are right here in Houston to help you with anything as well.
Medic 1, Engine 1, and Ladder 1 respond to motor vehicle collision of Katy Freeway, Bingle Road. Katy Freeway, Bingle Road. Time of 1823.
That's such a hard from other ones like texting.
Yep, so great question. So again, the difference is that we compound and pay daily. They compound and pay at the end of the month.
In July, Kirby,
there is a big difference. We also have a later wire cutoff. Much easier portal to use. More staff, hot boots on the ground here in Texas than they do. We provide our statements the first day of the month versus the third or fourth business day of the month. So there's some of the bigger differences. We're the largest prime style pool in the state. So our CP pool is bigger than theirs. They are larger in size totally, but we're chasing them hard. But that would be our biggest competition would be Tech School. That's the name that
I'm
the manager of the funds, but it's all public funds on the board of directors, which you'll see on web pages I sent you to the board, and they are the ones who are ultimately in charge of the fund. They hired public trust advisors to manage the funds for Texas Class. And so public trust advisor, which is headquartered out of Denver, Colorado, they've got over $75 billion under management total. So it's something that we're very familiar with. And Texas Class has been around since 1996, so it's not something that just popped up overnight. I know we have grown significantly since Public Trust Advisors took over in 2013 with management for the pool. They were a little over $2 billion. We've grown significantly over the last decade.
Other questions? Have you ever broken the dollar?
We have not. Tech School was the one that broke the book. State of Texas did step in. I was back in the early 90s. And so because of that, that's how Public Fund Investment Act 2256 really came about. It was very robust, probably the robust in the nation. Very comprehensive and keeps us and our public fund money very safe. So it's a good thing to have. And we have to abide by it. So, and your investment policy does prohibit, no, does allow to join pools such as Texas Class. I think that on your agenda, there's two ways. You can either do it, you can join by resolution or by adding Texas Class specifically by word into your investment policy as an authorized investment. Either way, it works to do it, and then it's a simple registration type of command.
Any further questions? Okay, well, thank you.
Awesome.
Sir.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Brewer, for showing up tonight.
Thank you, Chief. That was a good one.
Thank you.
What I suggest, I know you're getting ready to get started, Chief, but while we're on this item, let's just continue. What your thoughts might be on something like this, especially for those cities that are participants. You know, what your experience has been. What your thoughts are.
But we've been using it for a while. I'm not sure what our total screen is. But put it this way, I haven't heard that problem. And she's with when I raised the flag first. So
I'll ask our city administrator, do we use Texas Pool or Texas Class?
We have Texas Pool, where I'm about to diversify more in Texas Class. Right now, we have a higher interest rate.
We're
going to bring up.
We do the same.
So, I mean, I'm sort of thinking this sounds like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
If it's where all of our cities are putting their money,
right.
It's their money. So we're putting their money in the same place they're keeping the rest of their
money.
And so sounds like
we do not have any Houston.
You know, it's the same.
Those
of you who are more financially savvy than I am, what are your thoughts about the safety of something like this?
And you're all officials, Sergeant Yeager, thank you, please. And you're getting them the same regulation. So, say
it was. I don't want to bother you, too. We've got a pretty good
Yeah,
and this changed a lot of money market right now. Daily liquidity has to be 20% of the total bucket. Whereas that's like $5 billion that must be available every day. And then I think it's 50% within Saturdays. So you then, the government seeing something within money markets that they want to make sure that they're not stretching. He said 60-day weighted average, which means they have some stuff that's out 120 days. The money market beyond 60 days isn't money market. You know, so they're right there. They're pushing to create yield. How much are you making now without making a change? What is it?
Yeah, I mean, we're doing 2% right now just on the interest at the bank. Yeah.
When you came and spoke with us, and there was, excuse me, no minimum or maximum on transfers and interest daily, not monthly. It was a high interest rate. You're right, no brainer.
Yeah, at least with a portion of it. Moved
it doubled. Yeah, and we use this transfer account.
Yeah,
all the transfer in and do all of our ACH stuff locally out of our operating account.
Right, that would be my thought, is that we would keep our operating account at a bank, and then we would lock this down. This would be our capital replacement fund and those sorts of longer term dollars that, and then because I'm paranoid security wise, I think this should have only place the money can go out of this account.
Ready to want to make a proper
and it should
have a proper year to go out there to it.
And, I think. It makes sense.
Now, I'm assuming would you be doing one transfer a month? How often would you need a transfer to use this to save?
Two to three. That's it, really. We just would do the 15th and the last of the month just to pay the bills.
Cover payroll.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to do 4 o'clock. The Fed's already closed by 4 o'clock central. So I don't know how to move the money at 4 p.m. central. That's interesting. But hey, they can do that.
You should be working 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Well, we do have here this item 5B is a potential action item. And so
I will get going to the big ask tonight. What we do with President Brandon to draw up the resolution. He said he'd be to do it by application or by resolution. And if we do it by resolution, we can put in the concerns over, signings to the account. And once I get out of all that, the resolution and that
right
in place when we go to improve it.
And then you have a form for that did here, but I was going to suggest the same thing. You're going to pay for your on the resolution. So,
What I
would think we would have to adopt their standard resolutions, incorporate those by reference into our resolution, and then add our further requirements
right
to that. Is that kind of what you were saying? That's fine. And so, so what you'd like to see is have him draft that resolution for consideration under next meeting.
Yeah, I don't think we have that. We have that. We need to just vote on getting a resolution with that. It'd be better to vote on it next meeting.
I always like to vote on something that is on paper in front of us, and especially when, we're going to lose the month of interest, but so be it. I'm hearing is a consensus of that we would like for our next meeting to have a resolution prepared that would incorporate whatever customary resolution were required by the financial institution on their form, plus establishing that we authorize the establishment of the account, that it would require 2 signatories, and the transfers from the account would be limited to our existing checking account. And who do the 2 people need to be to authorize? Who do we have as our, I know we all sign signature cards. Any 2 of a group would be my thought. I don't think we want to limit it to 2, because that way if you don't have one of those people available, you don't get the money done. So I would think we would have 2 people out of a group of more than 2 people. Is that customarily all the commissioners? And then you or what?
So I'm the signer and then a commissioner. So
none of the treasurer.
The treasurer.
We only go to the treasurer
for signing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if that's something they could do, why don't we set it up like our other account? So it would require
Marlo plus 1.
Marlo plus a commissioner. Does that work for everybody?
Yep.
And then, we'll reflect in the minutes of this meeting that this is the direction we're leading, so that our cities are aware of this. If there's any concern from any of the cities as to the direction, then they've had a month to raise those concerns. And I would expect that each of us would take this intention back to our city councils when we make our monthly reports and let them know, so that way when we move ahead with this, nobody can say they were surprised. All right, well, let's go back up to the order at 4B. Chief.
All right, I hope everybody's had a comfortable summer with the side in the last 2 months. We've been trying to build the heat and looking forward to fall, so we're getting closer. I'll give my report first, and I'll cover a couple of the main topics on the fire chief report. Staffing, Captain Pointer's on light duty, he's assisting with inspections, and with dispatch when needed. And he's working on making sure we're information on fire protection and client too on one of our items before his training and the way we record things. We short advertise for new personnel starting today. So we plan to hire a little later on the fall and have our first employee go on board by January 1st, 2024, having the 3 new spots. And Rusty, which I'm going to get to next, is retiring and to cover his spot with personnel and moved up in the fire spot. So we made a fire shift up his spot. My kid, Captain Frost, spot to move to the fire marshal's office. So that would be the 1 backfill and the 3 firefighters. And they're looking at the lateral move is starting like it's been before. If they come from another department, their time and rank is covered. So if they've been several years in Houston or another department, they come in here with equal number of years. So we've got budgeted up to 7 levels of classification, depending on their level of the city, or how many years of service they get. Everybody understand that lateral move process? That way, like moving over, start at the bottom, they're moving in about the same level they were with the city of Houston, or whatever the company is. Rusty Kattner, his last day of work on shift or in the inspector's office will be September 8th. We're planning on having lunch for him that day. He prefers barbecue, so we have barbecue for him. His last official day is November 30th. He will be coming to the family day, and there he can be recognized and therefore service, and that is October 14th.
The day of the annual eclipse.
Is it? Mm-hmm. New that month, I don't know what it is. So, I just feel going outside looking at this during the family day. Apparatus and equipment, Medic 3, our 2014 International is taking the cruise truck sale for preventive maintenance and to be inspected to see what kind of shape it was in, to make sure if the following years in reserve capacity or any following years in reserve capacity. When we're trying to decide which engine to keep. One that already had a new engine put in it, so this engine is actually was older than the same one. The first equipment said that if his first line, he wouldn't expect people. How long do they say if we get this in the first 5 minutes? How long do they do it? It would last.
If we paint it the way that we currently run the first line, first analysis, they said we would expect to rebuild the motor within 5 years.
Yeah, and so we don't know where the limit to reserve and if there should be reserve payment.
Right.
That being said, we decided that our oldest purchase of the 2012 International is one we would like to get rid of, would like to sell. And we had a day with Eric Pete Dodd, and they also sell fire truck and confinement. We charge him 7% interest, maximum of $14,000. Let's just sell the apparatus. And we won't be at how to get that much money off of it. But he came out of his truck last night, took some pictures. And what he does is he reaches out to the farming set of people and find out who's looking for fire trucks. So we're going to try to sell it there and see what price. We didn't get a price yet. We do.
So it's Texas Fire Trucks, and it's Eric P. Dodge. He has sold our other vehicles that have been there, like EP2. That's how we listed it for him. So we do have a little bit of history to him. And what he brings to the table is he gives us the professional opinion. He sells trucks from all over the U.S. He's connected to other vendors that they partner with that advertise. So it's national and somewhat international to having your truck. It's our truck. We make all the decisions. There's nothing more about it. And for this, he came out and looked at it. He took pictures, did all that kind of stuff. He went and listed. He said reasonably, we'll probably sell it for around 35 to 40, depending on exactly just who really needs ambulance at this time. So normally our normal protocol that we normally do is we list it high. We list it high for something like this. We may list it for 65. We may list it for 70 to see what type of fish that we get.
Wait,
hold on.
And that's considerably higher than the credit going with that 13,000 or
something like that.
I mean,
the credit value is like stuff is not get so good.
And your line for Oaksmith, 1842.
Right now, the ammo stock is up to years ago, we got 15,000 off for a truck for ammo. Really, no matter what it looks like.
Well, right now you can hardly get a used 2012 pickup truck for 39,000.
Fire trucks and ambulances is really pretty good unless you really go into them and have some extra stuff. Our ambulances are basic. This ambulance here is a fairly basic ambulance. This one here does not have a power load in it, so that doesn't necessarily help us, but I don't know if it hurts us that much, but it doesn't have exactly all of any frills to it. But what it does have, it has fairly lower mileage per ambulance, not super old, and it looks good. So it's not all for us.
Okay. And sort of that's our plan is to list that. And I've got that later on the agenda as discussion, as we're getting ready for apparatus and for the equipment. Okay, the station generator. We have a call with the old station generator that's in the original station. It went out, blew a seal, fuel everywhere. And so we had to get a loaner in here until it was fixed. And the loaner had to pay for it for a week of rental at $2,500 plus setup. And then had to have a generator repaired. Total, including the diagnostics trip, rental generator repair came to $10,665.68. And that came out of station equipment. On the incidents. I'm going to cover Jameson's family meeting in July. There were 114 fire incidents, 95 EMS, 6 non-emergency service calls, and 3 EMT calls. There were a total of 218 calls in June at a 4-minute, 45-second average response. In July, 89 fire incidents, 104 EMS, 15 non-emergency service calls, 13 Houston Fire Department calls for a total of 221 incidents at an average response time of 4 minutes and 21 seconds. Everybody want to bring up on the third call of those numbers. Okay, simultaneous calls. I've sent out with the board package, so I thought it was important in Mayor James' account to make them be a good idea to see how often talking about moving dispatch and dispatch needs is how many simultaneous calls we have going on at one time. So I did send out with a board packet the response time and sent out the simultaneous calls in call frequency, like the days and what times, the hours of the calls. And looking at it, it's kind of obvious to see that our main call frequency time is, or our least amount of time is between midnight and 6 a.m. And then the way the simultaneous report goes, the simultaneous incidents, it goes from 2 simultaneous, 3, 4, 5, all the way to 6. And that first page shows the number of each one that we had simultaneous incidents and how many of them, such as for 2 incidences going at one time, there were 203 incidents. And this is from January 1st to July 31st. So that was just a
the four-year information kind of interesting and kind of helps, and but to justify the need for to make sure that we keep our dispatch short of either additional dispatchers or dispatch them with more people. Like if we're looking at possibly like going with no more of the police department to help with kind of short of staff and like concerns about.
This doesn't show though how many are medical, like how many times we have two ambulances, three ambulances. This could be one medical, two fire, or something like that.
Yeah, so that's correct. And I'm actually working on that. The business intelligence software licensing that Propane has, we're going to get it for Catherine so she can help formulate that kind of report. Because currently you can pull it day by day. And this is just like the reports I sent out each day. You can see by your city the number of calls, but you may see a call, oh, the man was called at 6 o'clock, and then up there in Bunker Hill, there's another one at 6:05.
Right.
So there's quite a few. We have gone through and penciled to see how there's been numerous times, including at one time the dispatcher having a call already out. Receiving another call from an unconscious adult from the person's mother, and while she's on the phone, she gets another call. This person on hold and will be right back to you. The other dispatch call comes back, and the person wasn't there. So I call them back, they didn't answer. It was by the end of the interview, calling the application. But that's what we're trying to avoid is somebody's panicking. ISO. We got a preliminary report from ISO. Mayor Buesinger got it. I think he shared also with Sheriff Woodruff, Mr. Woodruff, on that. And it looks like we'll maintain our ISO 1. They'll send that preliminary report to the state fire marshal, and the fire marshal, state fire marshal gives us nothing besides the warning. And talking to our consultant, I'm like, okay, is this it, or can we expect that the audit that I was expecting? He says, no. He says, once they send that report out saying, this is what you're going to get, unless there's any objections, we're going to get with a one, I guess it's a standard form. And they send the state fire marshal and fire marshal.
So it already went through New Jersey?
Yeah. And that's where ISO is located. But apparently they did not go to their audit. They have. So that's good. That's good. And when they send the final report, I'll send that out with all the findings of it.
That's great.
Roof replacement. First off, I'll talk about the ceiling. The ceiling project is complete. Tim Fleming came out, took care of all the cracks in the building, the cracks from the expansion joints from the brick, took care of all those. That's been taken care of. Now we're just waiting for the roof retrofit for the annex to be done. Not sure exactly how far that's going to kind of keep going back and forth inside, but we're ready to go for that. There's no hold up.
There's some submittals that need to be processed. I'm going to reconsult with the contractor. So there's a little bit of shovel work we still need to do.
Okay. And in the main roof, the repair work that's got to be done that. Make it hurt or rent proof or wind resistant. That we're still looking at the numbers of testing on that to make sure that it's there. I thought we were there. I think it's going to start any time because there were exceptions that were allowed to make it compliant with what the insurance company I guess was needed for insurance. And so there's still that.
We've done all of our full test reports. And between the manufacturer and our contractor, they have kind of come to terms with what they want to do. And our roof consultant has just weighed in maybe a little contrary fashion. So I'm not quite sure what that means. Mike Gordy, kind of looking over that roofing study. I thought we were there, but it looks like we might not quite be there in agreement with what we're doing. So it's a lot of hurry up and wait. So unfortunately, but we have to have our manufacturer, our general contractor, our roof consultant, the architect. They all have to comply with what the final pitch is going to be.
And my understanding is probably going to take over a month anyway to have the roof done. So, my opinion, it's better to wait anyway until October at this point because we want to be in a new reboot. And not so much worried about the station, but you don't want your work that's being performed to be ripped off in the middle of the year. So I guess we do have a little bit of time now, but it would be nice to
have the idea was to get everything agreed on and ready so that we could make that call. So this point I was taking so long to get to where we are. I don't want to put a hold on anything. I'm gonna get all the way to the starting point and then make that call. So we need to put it off either weather or whatever else. So
kind of get a little bit of
Well, that's the other part is they can't work all that. They're limited to the hours they can work. So.
Yeah, I'm ready to have that done.
Yes, sir.
Okay, other hydrants, still working on hydrants, almost have those complete. I hope to have those complete by the end of this month. And also meeting July 11th. Had a lot of material coming out. They acted too much for a meeting. Had a lot of complaints about that. But there's a lot of items I want to put down, let people know we need to address. The officers will have a lot of good input. And so we've been working since then. I'm saying the direction was going for the remainder of the year where we're going to go with responses, with evaluations, guidelines, policies. And so we're moving forward with that. So family day, plan out family day. But yeah, I think it's really moving positive. It's a long meeting. Like I said, a lot of information covered. So we can touch on some of the topics we know the next meeting that's coming in January. So we can address it and move forward there and have a lot of these preliminaries and topics. Hopefully we're looking forward to it. Rebuilding service Mergicon went into started August 1st was the first day that they were implementing. And I'm going to discuss a little bit later on that too, because there's a billing sheet, a fee sheet, what they charge, and there's new center field. And I'm going to step that a little bit later. That's required. Goes into effect January 1st next year. Motorola quotes, you got the Motorola quote. It's pretty high. Mr. Nash even asked and said, you know, what are your recommendations on that? And my recommendation is it's $260,000 for the installation equipment and not count the other logistic concerns that might go along with it. Would be that if we went with the quote, we're going to be until 2025. And we'll give the city the chance to recover from the increases from 2023 and the 2024 budget, and they would plan out for 2025 for this. But still, my recommendation, rather than do this, first one would be to hire another dispatcher. That would be my recommendation to the dispatch center here. But if that's not in the workings, then we definitely need to make some kind of change to make sure we have those additional dispatchers on duty to help handle local calls and anything else that might pop up.
Looking at that quote sheet, and I just think they're trying to break it out. You know how much the department is $170,000. How much of that is a one-time cost?
$159 includes the maintenance fee, maintenance call, and then on the second year we start the maintenance agreement. We had a surprise Texas Department of State Health Service inspection and went really well. Captain Kendall's made a good job, done a good job of making sure the animals were stopped, the people know what they're doing, and that we're looking bad on it. So we did really well. You've got a copy of that report there. EMT, the first that came out, did a signal strength test in the villages. We were real good. They said there's a couple of areas that it might be a little slow down if you're doing some heavy screening, but otherwise, they said it's a really good strong strength out here. CPR class, but I think they have a copy.
Was that in the
first test? First one, the first one.
Okay.
They came out. We're looking at tanks, we've already done the initiative with the government contract and everything. I've got the government rates and what they allow, and we're ready to go with three.
Okay.
And we're just good because T-Mobile, we had a laptop around, and we found they would get a laptop from them on that. So they seem a lot more user-friendly. And you know, I personally had a personal phone and I had an eight on it. Customer service is better than your typical phone they couldn't see.
Now, are you looking at just doing standard phone service, or are you looking at integrating that with your other radios?
Yes, phone radios are on laptop for the apparatus.
So, like for example, could you use your phone using a push-to-talk feature to talk to the apparatus on the text warning system?
Mine's not enabled, and I don't really have that technology. I do know they offer. I'm hearing disasters. You can, it's a bank account you can purchase, such as for the commission. If you have a disaster, we've got bank accounts that we can hand out to, and it used to be very cheap, like $1 a month to jump the phone, and then during airtime, you can use near an but as far as the radios, I don't know if you could use, and I don't see it integrated with radios.
Okay, I think that is a thing that they can do. I just didn't know if you were looking at the other side.
No, right for that. First, we're just looking at maintaining phone service, or making sure we have the caps and cows that were available during the staff to the canal set us out here so we have the phone service that we've been doing about before. And I didn't ask him about the radio, but I didn't know that was a possibility. So,
I'm not saying we need it, I was just curious since. But it is something I think that it might require buying an interface that would interface between the radio system and their push-to-call system.
Oh, I can shoot for sure.
Well, no, it would basically allow you to use your cell phone like a handy talk and talk just as if you were on the other system.
Yeah.
Which might be cheaper if you needed that functionality, it might be cheaper to have it on the phone than have the radio and the monthly license for a radio like for the fire marshal or something like that.
Okay, next bill.
But that's sort of what it would be like the old fashioned next.
CPR classes, 13 classes have been instructed so far with actually it's more than that. And it's 99 people, I thought it was more than that. Then we've got another four classes scheduled at about 20 per class. And that's Chapelwood. Because they have a lot of people that really want to get certified. So that's going good. The only thing is it's not cheap.
Chapelwood
CPR certifications, are they parishioners or are they members of the community gathering at Chapelwood? Well, they haven't been asking. When we do the class at Chapelwood, we don't ask for residents or not. We just go ahead and pay the car, charge a car fee at $35 for purchase for the cars. And then we have two people per every 10 piece of class that are on other
staff.
Oh, staff. Oh,
okay.
That would be helpful.
That
would be helpful. A lot of staff.
It is a little costly when you pay, two people $5 each, in overtime.
But they're paying the $35 fee.
They're paying $35 fee. But it's worthwhile to get an extra hand out there.
Sure.
There's somebody doing.
Okay. Any other questions?
Already mentioned the ambulance, selling the ambulance. And we've got some weight equipment, new weight equipment purchased. So we've got some old stuff we want to get rid of. There's really not that much of it, and I'll go with that a little bit. But we did purchase a treadmill for $5,606, and weight bench and mats, and some weights for $3,950 for a total of $9,550. $450 left to spend.
I'm still going to follow up on that.
Great.
My apologies for the summer delay.
I appreciate the recommendation.
For Houstonians, hopefully they have. And their old equipment is nice.
The commissioner that came by and get in the equipment, I know what he probably do. So I appreciate your effort and talking to the media.
Yeah. So, didn't we have someone that was going to donate some equipment as well? Didn't we have someone that was going to donate some equipment as well?
I think there was just that looking at.
So you got weights in the treadmill?
What?
Weights in the treadmill?
Oh, yeah. We got quite a bit.
How many tried them?
Just one. Yeah. $5,606. This is real good. For my,
nope.
I'm going to my buds every day for the knockers, toes on it.
I'm sure there's one of your lawyers down there.
Yeah, I think
that
was
the fee schedule will have to get approved on this area.
Fee schedule. We get back through. Got that on the. I got that coming up.
Okay.
And then also something else I wanted to think about is this tower is really getting to come up. And you look at it, it's pretty worn out. The doors in it. I'd like to change out one day. It's not going to be this year, not be next year. Maybe in 2025, something might look at is going to roll doors on it. We've got a lot of rust in the tower and beams that need to be cleaned and painted. And they're fastened in between the walls. Not inside, but in the brick area.
Fast.
Leave mosquitoes.
Let's keep
they eat mosquitoes.
Well, that is a good thing about it.
Mosquitoes that are in the wall.
We got bats in the tower. I should say this. The tower, we have bats in our belt.
Yes.
Should be a novel.
You can't just get rid of them either. I have them in my chimney. You have to wait for the main season to be over. Yeah, there's all kinds of laws. You can't just go.
If we had to get rid of the that's exactly what it is. The mating season was over.
If they're Mexican retail bats, they go back to Mexico in the wintertime. And so that's when you can close up so they can't end up back in the spring.
Literally,
the smell, the stain, everywhere. Have my outfit cleaned up. It was bad.
It can be very nice.
Yeah.
Even the classroom is all wrong.
I don't know if this has this now.
I've got a video. You can see it crawling out of the cracks with the tower. It seems with the tower. And we saw about 50 of them coming out one night. It was a lot. It was quite a few. It was quite surprising. One of the guys was doing towers, burning up another tower. And we were watching these bats fly. I'm like, did you see me in bats tonight? And no. We go up there, we move the shit out of the seams of the building.
Well, it seems to me that sounds like that's a capital expense. That's a life, and that should be something that we should be looking at when it needs to be done, how much it needs to cost, and we should be putting that in our long-term capital plan. So that would be my recommendation, is if it doesn't need to be done this year or next year, that's fine, but it needs to be planned for this year or next year so that, as we're looking at that spreadsheet, we should plug that in so that there won't be a surprise and we'll have the money when the time comes.
Yes, sir. Yeah, Tim Fruman, who did this, who is pressure washed and filled all the gaps in this station. I told him about it, and he's got a relative that installs the type of doors and the pipes and some of the doors and the cost and where you get the cost of cleaning that up and the price would be good as well as well.
Yeah. And then that way also, we find that we've got a little money that we haven't spent somewhere else, we can maybe put it towards doing all or part of that.
Yes, sir.
Should we be hiring someone to look into the bat situation?
Are
we at that point yet?
Right now, they're kind of on the exterior. If we don't fix the doors now, they still have that just coming back.
Keep
so,
that.
Right, so we'll be paying for them. So as long as they're not in the tower right now, then I think we're okay. But yeah,
it's sanitary.
They're in the brick cavity. That you can go in the expansion joint and the brick, and then get between, and it's only an inch or less of space back in there. So it's not like, we get the bats from the Boston Bridge.
That's our surprise tonight. We're going to
get watch
that.
We get to watch it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, we won't be here when we
get
Another thing is actually on a JDOT item, if y'all want to wait until we get to that area, I think no, is it on the agenda too, or am I covering it? Well, I'm cutting it for discussion.
Yes.
Approval.
Yes.
There's the lost my agenda.
You need the
agenda?
Oh,
the emergency time, they set a fee schedule. And the color down as I mentioned that Senate bill, it is Senate Bill 2476 that requires by the tax department of insurance to submit a fee schedule for commercial building companies such as Blue Cross Blue Shield as well as Minority Care to know what fee we have. If they don't have a fee set by the tax department of insurance, that insurance companies can charge either what we charge, or they can pay what we charge, or a percentage of what Medicare would pay. The lower either one. So we, to avoid them paying a lower fee than what we charge, we have to submit this fee, which means if I could get your approval for the fee schedule, and for emergency time, this is a customary fee for calls.
We have that. I don't see that.
It's in the.
I saw report. That it was discussed in the chief report, EMS billing fee schedule, but we don't have it as an action item.
Well, so one of the reports is that report is a possible action.
Yeah. That's why it's been in there.
We're probably the.
Oh, yeah, that's
okay, got it.
Okay, well, then we could have. So basically, you're saying we need to adopt this as the fee schedule?
Yes, sir.
And this is the, as a matter of practice, I mean, I don't think this came out in our packet, did it? We're seeing this for the first time tonight.
Yes, sir, I believe we are due on the packet.
No, not the fee schedule, no, but it's...
As a matter of general practice, I think it's bad business for the commission to see something when they walk into the room to be asked to approve it. And so I'm not saying we can't do it if we need to do it, but we just need to tighten up on that. And anything that this commission is going to be asked to approve, folks should have a few days to look over it and be prepared before they show up here.
Yes, sir. I told you, if it should have come out, I apologize if it came out in the blue packet. It's just like the dispatch council got sent a separate day. This is that I missed. And then really kind of, I thought it was in the board packet. There was so much in there that I missed it when I left three.
Okay. Now the Emergicon, that's, wait a second, I'm getting confused now. Is that the fee schedule?
That's the fee schedule. Yeah. So we have billing something.
Yeah. Okay. I just saw what you held up was something different. So, okay. So, just to run through this, different categories of calls for service for the ambulance are billed at different rates.
Yes, sir.
ALS being advanced life support, BLS being basic life support. And then the disposables, is that flat fee of $400, the $350 for BLS, or is that... So we bill those items out separately.
When I say disposables, I think it's listed just as the account candidate for native up here. But when it says disposables, $400, it's got examples. Now, I think the supplies we use are Curlex, bandages, other things like that, tubing, oxygen mask, or the oxygen stuff separately. But as far as the ALS, the EKG electrodes, things like that that we use. And the BLS, things like often top sheets, gloves, Curlex would be an example of BLS.
Right.
We use many equipment to use that
professional. That flat fee charge.
Yes.
So, okay, so if you did like an ALS, if you just plug them into the monitor and use electrodes, that's $400.
Yes.
But if you use a bunch of drugs, still $400. How much on the average call, let's say we're IVs, and I don't know what our cost is on the meds, or are we coming out okay at $400?
This is sort of, these fees are pretty standard across the board. One of the things with this legislation that has been passed is there's no regulations requiring insurances to pay annuals. They can pay what they kind of want. So this new bill is all departments here submit their fee, they're approved by government entity fee schedule. The Texas Department of Insurance, they're going to develop a standard, and that's going to require insurance to pay the cost. As of right now, they can pay $125 if they so choose, and we really have no recourse for that. So this is just standard across the board for most billing companies for most of these services. As far as the disposable, it just sort of depends on what procedures are performed throughout the transport. But as far as EMS is a black hole, and what we recoup from as up to this point, what we recoup from insurance companies and patients themselves, depending if it's a really critical problem, whenever we're close to permanent cost, depending on what it
is. Yes, that's what I was thinking. So, but I guess what I'm seeing here is that people don't bill, you don't sit there like the hospital does with inventory every, Band-Aid that comes out. You just, if it's BLS call, it's $350. If it's ALS call, it's $400.
Exactly. And they found that the insurance company is more likely to pay rather than having itemized bill here. So, show proof of using a lot. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It started IV. EKG interpretations, innovations, things like that, that'd be considered ALS. And that's where you have a higher fee
as that ALS of 1700 versus normal margin of 1500 that's on the first page. That's what that additional
No, I get that part because you're paying for higher trained people and more stuff in the ambulance. I guess what I'm thinking is if it's costing us $350 to do the BLS run, it probably costs us a whole lot more than $400 to do an ALS run. That's the one number of all these that jumps out is whether we're light on the ALS.
Well, really, you know, I think the purpose is like package deals, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, some people would pay more than what they actually got, some people would pay less than what they actually got.
But you're comfortable that we'll come. If we actually collected this, we would be doing okay.
I'm actually pretty excited about how this legislation might impact our revenue. Because as of right now, like I said, there's not a whole lot of opportunities for this company to pay. And this should be the only down the other side of this law is that we can no longer balance bill payments. Balance billing is, let's say that we charge $2,000 for a transport. The insurance company only pays $1,000. We bill the balance billing is billing the patient the remainder of the bill. So that's what this law is really based on, is trying to reduce surprise bills to patients for EMS service. And there's really no in-network EMS service, no matter how fancy your insurance plan is. You know, since a lot of these patients are getting a surprise bill. So not only are we going to, you know, have standard fees that insurance is more likely to pay, we have to publish our fees to the website, and then we just get balance bill payment. So
yeah, we don't get much on the balance bill anymore.
No, we don't. Well, I'm kind of interested to see what's going to do the impact on revenue after January 1st.
We're really excited by the little emergency coming. They're a lot more transparent. They're on top of things. I think it's going to get us some better risk. And they do more than just EMS funds too. They dig up for the fires, you know, bill insurance, and the fires, they'll bill for the hazard materials cleaned up. So we're going to see how this goes and maybe do those other areas. Bill insurance is good.
Are there any other questions from commission concerns or discussion before we entertain a motion? I'll entertain a motion then to adopt the fee schedule as presented.
One quick note, once it's adopted, you can't revisit it annually, but you can't adopt it and then a couple months later.
It's a once a year deal. Yeah. So you're good with this for the next year.
Well, the second is the deal that the chairman gave about. We're not establishing any precedent on voting equipment that we could see at the meeting. In this one instance, I would motion that we approve the schedule for the meeting.
I'll send that.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. All right. So, anything else on your item number 4B, Chief?
No, sir. That is all I have.
All right, I think the next order of business is 5A, which is consideration of an engagement letter with our auditors. And I saw that somewhere. I guess that was in the packet, or was it here tonight?
It was in the packet.
It was in the packet. So is there any discussion concerning the retention of an auditor for this year? Hearing none, is there a motion to adopt the or accept the engagement letter? I guess would be the appropriate term. So move.
Yeah.
So motion, was that a second? Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. All right, well, let's move on down the line here. So we've already covered items 5B. So let's move into item number 6. I'll cover item 6A, the Fire Chief Selection Committee met last week. We had a good discussion on some preliminary matters with our outside advisor, Chief Langenberg from Humble, but we didn't take any formal action because our representative from Spring Valley wasn't able to join us, so we're working to schedule our next meeting as soon as possible, perhaps by Teams, where we can get everybody present, and we will continue on with that process. So not a whole lot to report at this point from the committee. Questions? Item 6B, property and casualty insurance proposal. I think we got something on that. That was in the packet. Who, Chief, did you have any discussion on that or recommendation?
So this was the only bidder, correct? And last year was at $77,372. It has increased about 9%, and we're at $84,655. We did have some discussion with him on once we sell our vehicle, the ambulance, the 2012, it will drop roughly $5,000 or so. And we're in what we budgeted for 2024. So, which is pretty good, but no changes, anything like that, just an increase just due to overall increases in a lot of different items right now. But we're hoping to see that decrease once we sell our vehicle to get off of insurance.
On our insurance policies, were those declared value policies or actual cash value policies for our apparatus?
What we do on that is what we purchase the vehicle for. Is that what you're referring to?
So let's move away from the new ambulances, because that's probably an anomaly. But let's say if something were to happen to engine two, would they do a determination of actual cash value, and that's what would they pay off, or do we have an agreed number that we have already agreed that advance is the insured value of that?
Well, when I provide the information, I give them the actual price that we paid for that, and that's what's in the insurance information when they give it back to us. So whatever that vehicle is paid, it's not. So my understanding is what that vehicle cost at the time.
So now, I can
ask that question.
Yeah, I'm assuming most vehicle policies are actual cash value. So you tell them what you paid for it originally 10 years ago, and you know they're going to give you a depreciated amount based on this pre-accident condition and all that. I'm assuming that's what we have.
We'll find out for that, but I do present.
Another place, if I ask, it is the agreed value. So they use the agreed value, and that agreed value is they basically total it off, and that's the total of the truck, the vehicle, and that's about 75%.
Yeah.
But sometimes that can be a little tight because it's really hard to get that. And it really comes back down to the liability the commission wants to incur. How much money is in your bank and what type of truck?
That was in the
let's just say a $1 million fire truck. You know, if this was that truck and $500,000 worth of damage, we don't buy it. So it may be lower than agreed value.
So when you're going to put your information,
it's up there. You take the truck and
I guess the reason I'm asking this question is if it's an actual cash value policy, then this commission doesn't need to do anything. If something were to happen to a piece of apparatus, there would be an assessment made, and they would pay on that. If it's an agreed value policy, then I think it's incumbent upon us to review the declared and agreed values for the pieces of equipment. So, like a car insurance policy, most of us have car insurance, and it would pay if our car gets totaled the actual cash value of the car. For a boat policy, it's a declared value policy normally. And so you agree with the insurance company, doesn't matter what it's worth, they're going to pay you what the insurance policy says. And so that's why If it is an agreed value policy, we need to review the agreed values, I think, prior to renewal each year. If it's an actual cash value, then there's not a job for us. Does that make sense?
We'll get that for you.
So we got some time.
And what the agreed value actually covers. So, yeah. For example, you may think, let's say, Debbie wanted to draft a new problem. So, we've got the agreed value of the government. The FIS probably includes the fixed assets in there too, such as not the handheld video, but the mobile video. And that could be a $15,000 hit. Maybe have spent life on stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah, the prices we give them the actual value of what the vehicle costs.
Yeah.
So we'll find out if that's going to pay or if they're going to just pay a depreciated value.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What was the last time we had a vehicle totaled?
James does.
This is part of history, the use of vehicles. And if this is something that happens once every 10 years or.
It hasn't happened since the early 90s.
Engine 1 respond to fire alarm residents at 403 Green Cove Street, 403 Green Cove Street, timeout 1927.
Yeah, I don't want to overly complicate it, but if it is agreed value, that's how the
lead is. Yeah.
Okay. EMS revenue is like a quarter.
Yes, that's just letting you know. I know that we had discussed last time about we agree that everything is going back. I just was giving you the amount that will be going back to the cities. The total amount is $82,634.94 in each city, what is going back. So just providing information. We don't have to take an action on that unless you would like to.
Engine 1 en route to 403 Green Cove Street, near Green Bay Street, City Planning Point, 1928.
Questions about ambulance revenue? Okay. Next is review of investment banking practices and strategies and discussion of possible action. I think that's what we just did. I'm the one who came up with this agenda item a while back, and it's just been rolling, but the purpose was so that we can figure out where we're putting our money, and I think we've covered that. So we covered that under 5A. Investment policy update. Now, do we need to change our investment policy in order to allow us to use a vehicle like Texas Class?
I think that was part of their resolution that the investment policy would be changed.
Well, if we need to change the investment policy, let's just make sure that we have a revised investment policy in the packet prior to the next meeting so that we can approve an amendment to the investment policy at the time we open that account.
So the resolution and investment policy does that.
Right. And because I think we're supposed to review the investment policy at least annually anyway. So
correct.
That would also cover annual review of the investment policy.
So and the one that I changed is in the blue in the board package. So you can look over all of that.
It's ready to go?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
It should have been in your board package, yes. And it's Section 10C, text pool and or Texas Class as a public fund investment. No, that's the updated one. So if we want to approve that, then we could sign and date on that as well.
So that is page 54 packet is the investment policy. So is this red line to show the changes?
Yes, it would. Yes, it has section 10C, text pool, and or Texas Class. So I added that Texas Class if we need to
if Brandon, if you need to do that, then we can do that and update it, whatever is appropriate.
I did read through it. Like I said, I thought that was part of Texas classes. I mean, it does change it to where there it would allow us to use that. So if you wanted to adopt the investment policy, I wouldn't be able to issue with that.
Okay. Is everyone prepared to adopt the amendments to the investment policy? Okay, so motion and a second. Okay, is there any further discussion?
There's no one okay from Southern Green Cross Command. I'm 32.
Okay, hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. So now we go to sale of current assets, gym equipment. Chief.
Okay, we've got some of the equipment that we're replacing. It's very minimal. The treadmill's broken, so the value is really not worth anything. We just have to get rid of it. But there's a couple of Smith machine, a flat bench, an incline bench, and a decline bench. Some of them are kind of torn, but they're worn out. Just get rid of that equipment. It's not very much. I wouldn't say the value is worth more than $100 or $200 maybe. Support that much. So if we can just give it away, just had a firefighter put the name in the hat and see if he wants to take it. It's torn, some of it's torn.
So yeah, you can only give away property if you declare it as salvage property, meaning it has no value. Something still does have some value, you get the constitutional prohibition against gratuitous gifts. Government entity, so if it has a value to it, you can sell it, you can auction it, do anything like that. But to be able to give something away, you've got to declare it salvage.
Okay, so if it has some value for these things, it has de minimis value. What do? We put it on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace, or
there's really no prohibition.
So the past how we, you can do it. You know, firefighters a bit on like the trailer we got rid of the. Old trailer we used to have, the command trailer. Firefighters just put in a closed bin and it was opened up by the fire chief.
In a lot of cities, do that just kind of by auction or, you know, that
that's allowed?
It is.
Just to
I said they do that.
I mean, yeah. It really doesn't matter as long as you get something for it if it still has value.
But a closed auction where only a certain number of people are eligible to bid is okay.
I mean, in any event, you're not giving it away as a gift, so there's not a prohibition.
I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of papers for it.
No, I get it. I'm worried about complying with the law. I'm not worried about.
And, you know, if something is worth $500 and you close it off to only firefighters and say we'll sell it for $10, then you're not getting true value back for it. So that would be a problem.
Yeah.
You would just come back and put it salvage property. We tried to sell it, we could. It's a value that
I think we tried to put it like.
But I tell you what, you know, let's say, why don't we take a few pictures? You got a Facebook page, put it up on the Facebook page. Hey, highest bidder. Somebody comes and gets it. Somebody comes and gets it. If not, Wednesday that they come by and Saturday. Put it out Wednesday or Saturday morning. Let everybody know it's going out and get there before the truck. And
that way problem solved. There is one. There's a somebody probably want that. The trenches and things are pretty, I don't know if they'll have
it. It was the simpler legal.
I recommend you to be a smaller enough to buy one and get them out. All right.
We'll pay the folks on Facebook again saying, hey, you know, if you're interested, you know,
highest bid by X day.
Come and get it. Okay.
And, you know, FOB,
arm, you know, you load it, you carry it away. Yeah.
Facebook, Facebook or website bid. That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's what we did in the past.
Whatever is easier for you, Chief. Just make it as simple as you can, so long as we're complying with the law.
All right. And they must pick it up. You don't deliver it.
That's part of their workout.
And an auction usually is the easiest way to do it. Then we're going to have to figure out the value of.
Okay. So do you have to approve that then? Is that something that's make motion approved?
Yeah. What I think just for good order's sake, let's go ahead and entertain a motion to authorize the sale of the exit. Gym equipment by auction to the highest bidder.
And just to be on the safe side, you can go ahead and declare it surplus property since you've got new gym equipment. So,
okay.
Still got the value of the surplus.
Okay. So, the motion would be to declare it surplus and to sell it to
authorize it to the auction.
Authorize it to the auction and just leave it at that. So, is there a motion to that effect? Okay, second.
Second.
Okay, any further discussion? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. We will.
Do we want to put a minimum for the bid?
No. House bid. Let's keep it simple now. Here's a little bit more substantial of an item. And just as a matter of good order, I think that. You know, we require that the commission approve the purchase of items and either directly or through the budgeting process. And so I think it's appropriate that if we're selling capital item, that it come through the commission as well. And so we've got this ambulance to sell. Chief in his report gave us an option as to how to do that. And I believe that's his recommendation is the best way to get the highest and best value for the department for that piece of apparatus. So I think we need to consider a motion to clear its surplus and to retain the broker to sell it for the best possible price. Do we need to get, so they bring us an offer. What happens? Do we have to hold that offer till the next meeting or how do we do that?
Well, so if you want to authorize the sale to a third party that are going to come back with a price, you can either authorize it to be sold by that means now, or you can have it come back with a price pending commission approval.
Well, what I don't want to do is set a price of $60,000 and somebody comes in, if we take it $35,000, we put $60,000 on it. Somebody comes in with $40,000. We don't want to lose them.
Right.
Wait until the next month for us to have another meeting.
Well, you could authorize it to be sold at a list price and a price that you would actually pay.
I don't want to put that in for sure.
Yeah, the salesman's got the more higher he sells for, the better commission is.
Yeah.
Get. So if we set a minimum to allow,
then we can. Again, kind of be in the record, though.
Yeah, that would be in the record.
Okay.
Can we authorize being the chief to accept an offer? Can we delegate that?
You can, but it's got to have some parameters to it, so this would be a situation. Do you want to have a minimum dollar amount that you're going to authorize that authority?
Chief, how did we do that engine last time? Was it so,
I don't know. I haven't done for this before. All it was we came up with an amount listed and then an amount to basically what we were talking about, what we thought was reasonable, and that's where we started. We never got past, so far when we've done this, we never got past to the point where it's like, nobody wants this thing or they're in the first one. You know, it's a complete locked out for the most part. So
chief, best guess on the end of what you think about the report.
I think it would get 40. That probably a pretty decent thing.
So why don't we settle in with 30, maybe 70 by you and the chief explain for the 30
Is that your motion? Yes, okay. There's a motion, there's a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Photo session for the Board of Commissioners.
Yeah. Mr. Nash isn't here tonight, but he suggested he went into the, he said, you know, the police department has all the fire, all the police commissioners in there. They're on the wall. And I'm like, you're right. So we decided that we'd like to get a photo session with all the commissioners and alternates for our entryway in the fire station. Is everybody okay with that?
Subject to a condition that we not hire a professional, that we use one of, let's say, our arson investigators. You should know how to take the picture.
Does everybody have headshots?
Yeah,
we just sent you our
Greg Burns and Tarski is who we had on taking all the firefighter pictures.
Yeah, but we also paid hundreds of dollars for that. I think that's a lot of money to spend for headshots of this.
Well, I think if you have a headshot through your city, and even if it's an 08 version, I said, bring it on.
I look a lot better with back then.
I think I didn't go dig through an archive. Maybe I could find some too.
Why don't we just, you got somebody, Chief, who can take a picture in this fire department?
Well, Lane worked his last good ones, and he's not here.
With the cell phone, you can say quick and basically, you know, let's. I don't want to hire Blackburn to come in here. But let's just plan on where you want us all to look. When you say uniform, you want us all to wear that color shirt. So just okay. 6,000. Next month when we come in here to get our pictures, how's that? Whoever, and that's whoever is on watch that day. We're not going to pay overtime for a group. But
did you want a group or individual?
Individual
mugshots,
because otherwise, every time somebody changed out,
that's
right.
That's
it cost, I think, 5 or 6,000. We had Blackburn do the entire
department. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know what they would charge for,
like, you
know,
Sweeney.
David Holland, he's an amateur.
And also,
he does a lot of wildlife. I'm not sure.
Well, he hasn't done this to him. Now, what's his ship? He's good. One of our
police
sergeants is a good photographer. And I think he's working evenings now, so we can just have him come do it. He's the one who does our city council pictures.
Yes.
What's our next meeting day?
I don't know.
27th. The 27th of September.
So, we'll just plan on doing it. And we can, if Wu can't do it, then we'll look into maybe get one of your guys to do it. But Wu has a good camera. He does all of our city pictures, and I'm sure, especially if he's on, because he's a ship sergeant now, is he not?
Yeah.
And I think he's evening, so he probably would be, he's probably driving around right now. We can get him to come out.
Do we have to be handcuffed and pictured?
I feel like we should have sent
him. Yeah,
we'll hold. The state thing, the night. Okay, special audit. This is one where you can blame your commission chairman for not doing anything since our last meeting on that. We need to get going with respect to that. And I think there is an email that he sent around. And I think the problem was, I thought it went to everybody and it may just have gone to me. And so I will get that to the members of the commission. And he has some specific questions that he wanted so he could do that special audit for us. So We will keep that on the agenda, and we'll try to make some action on that for next week. I'll get you guys that email. And if we can, I think this, it contained a solicitation for input. And so if we could get him the input, then maybe he can start moving that process along. Future topics. This is where we talk about things that members of the commission think would be appropriate for agendas in future meetings. Is there anything other than the customary agenda items that you would like to see us consider? One thing that I would like to have us start thinking about, you know, we got through the budget, we've taken a deep breath. Now we need, we've dealt with the bank account. We need to look at that capital replacement fund, and we need to start looking at whether how much money we need to be putting into that thing on an annual basis, so that when we get hit for a few licks for buying new apparatus, we got the money there to do it. So I propose we start that discussion at our next commission meeting, and so that we can be informing our cities as the year progresses as to what we think the outlook is for that in the out years, and the types of contributions they need to be planning for next year and beyond in order to be able to satisfy the capital demands of the fire.
Is that a normal scheduled review?
I don't think that it is. I think that it's what happens each year. Well, somebody keeps the spreadsheet up, and then each year as part of the budget, there's a decision made. Okay. As to how much to ask for that year.
Okay.
And so we made a decision as to how much to ask for in 2024. And quite frankly, I think we underfunded it. But, you know, I wrote that letter to each of the cities, and I specifically said, I think we're underfunding it. The cost of apparatus has gone up far in excess of inflation, and we're going to need to spend some time, and in 25 and beyond, potentially, make significantly higher contributions in order to be
able. In a perfect world, is that schedule need to be reviewed semi-annually, once a quarter?
I'm thinking annually. Well,
that's happening with the budget.
Well, but we didn't do it with the budget. We focused on the annual budget. We didn't really focus on that. So, we had so much going on with the budget. We made a decision that we're going to set that aside and do that later. And so later is now.
Okay.
And so maybe going forward, hopefully our budgets will be simpler, and that would be the time that we would review it. But this year, we did not give that particular spreadsheet the level of attention it needed.
I don't know.
So, you know, I don't want to put it off a whole year.
No, I'm all for it. The same stuff now, too.
So that's what I had in the way of future topics. Any other future topics? As always, if you've got something that you think needs to be discussed, you think of something during the month, let me know, or let Marlo know, and we'll review it. We'll consider it for inclusion in the agenda prior to the deadline for posting. With that, our next meeting, as we've already discussed, is September 27th. And the only other order of business we have is consider adjournment. So I'll entertain that motion.
I move to adjourn.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Yes.
All right, we stand adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, Chief, yeah. Question. One of those cities. So, all right.